No, in Gush,
yeah,
they have for the Kollel, like the yeshivas and Kapsulot, the Kollel, everyone has their own box.
Really?
So yeah.
They go in the middle of everyone else?
Yeah, basically you have to wear your mask to get to your box, and then you sit in your box.
Is it three-sized or less?
What?
Is it three-sized box?
I don't know. Someone sent me pictures, or it was a little hard to tell what they were. Very good. Very good. I probably have to let people in from the week, right? What? Only one, actually, like, the computer does, but it can't see the board. Yeah, I sort of give up on having it not selected. It's sort of hopeless. Okay, now let's see who's in the waiting room. Only Sasha so far.
Hey, boy, look at this whole room. Exciting. Good to see everyone's faces, or at least
yes. Lemetz l'shlush l'rvia. Okay. Hi, Sasha. Let us remember where we left off. Right, we're in Simon Pei Zion.
Last bit to black.
Yes. I think I think we're talking about Carmine. Right? Yes, correct. Okay, correct. Now let's go back to Sif Yud Rabosai at the very end. End of Sif Yud. Says Orakeva Lefamim Molchusom Yapshusov Nasake eats. Sometimes they would salt it and dry it down and become hard as wood and malaso chalum. They would fill it with milk and then obviously a mixture of meat and milk. Mutter, no problem. The Miyachshin is Yabish Habikates Ba'alma because once it dries out, it's now like a non food. Anything that's a non food that's wood is kosher pirate. The Ingbal Kluchis Basar has no moisture of meat anymore and is heter gar. Says the Shach, that's not a heter. Lechatchila in Sifkat and Lamet Gimel. Mikol Makom Nirad Lechatchila, you shouldn't do it. And Rabbi Kibbe Eger says here also, V'chein Kasav Marikash, Marikash, the Sifkal Pirach Lechem, early Sephardic Pirach on Shulchan Aruch. When the Sephardi Achronim, very, very Chashav. Also says that Lechatchila, the Lashon is B'dievet, but at least B'dievet, it is. Mutter. This brought up the whole discussion that we saw of gelatin. Where did the gelatin discussion start? Let's look at the Pesachim Tshuva Sivkat and Chaf Aleph. In Chaf, he quoted the Teferes Tzvi. We mentioned the Teferes Tzvi, something like carmine, a red dye made from beetles or something, or some sort of bugs, I forget exactly which. He said it was mutter. Why? Because they dried out the bugs, and it's totally mutter, just like our case. In Sivkat and Chaf Aleph, the Pesachim Tshuva brings down from the Prima Gadim, that the case in the Shulchan Aruch was when you never rehydrated. You never made the keva edible again. It stayed hard as wood, but if you cook it and process it and make it edible once again, then he said it is usur, but it was inedible, it was mutter. Now that it's edible, it becomes usur again. That is what the Prima Gadim says here. And this is, okay, again, some very, very weird case of the Lechem HaPanim. I'm not exactly I'm not so familiar with Sefer Lechem HaPanim. But then he quotes, and also discussing a very, very strange case. Someone who got a dried eyeball on his finger, trying to do some sort of superstitious remedy, and then put it in boiling milk. Sounds like this guy was both very superstitious and very absent-minded. Okay, stay away from people with that combination. In any case, he quotes later the Teferis Tzvi. He said the Teferis Tzvi, Hanal, meaning for the previous of cotton, is clearly not that way. Because the Teferis Tzvi says, after you take this dye from the box, even though you make it edible again, and you put it into your whiskey, it is totally mutter. And the Nodeb Yehuda also says it's mutter. Although he makes a chiluk, at least in some cases, that we'll see in a moment. What does the Nodeb Yehuda say? The Nodeb Yehuda says there's a difference between basar b'chalav and other isurim. Right? We remember this a little from one of the shittas about the eggs in the Taz, about having the tam basar, meaning other isurim, he thinks, even if the meat dries out, it would still say usur. But in basar b'chalav, nothing's usur. It's just when you combine the milk and meat, the derech bishul becomes usur. Once it dries out, it doesn't really taste like meat anymore, and it's not going to create an isur basar b'chalav. This is similar. We saw not bar nah, the idea of tam kolosh. This is the idea of tam kolosh, a weak taste. A weak taste of isur is usur, because it's usur. A weak taste of meat cannot combine with milk to make basar b'chalav. A weak taste of milk cannot combine with meat to make basar b'chalav. A weak taste, that's usur, stays usur. A weak taste that's mutter can't create an isser. And therefore, this is parallel. Says the Yehuda, dried meat of a pig stays usser. But dry kosher meat, if you then mix it with milk, that's not basar b'chalav. It doesn't really have taste of meat, so we can't create basar b'chalav. To create basar b'chalav, with the chiddush is, it's not enough to have a chefta of basar and a chefta of chalav. You need a proper tam of basar and a proper tam of chalav to create basar b'chalav. Here, you don't have a proper time of basar. Okay, he's actually quoting the Nebuta partially, but good enough for our purposes for now. And then he points out that, however, the Shach himself is clearly against the Prima Gadim and against the Nebuta. The Shach himself is 100% certain that the Shach himself is matir, dried out treif, even if it becomes edible again. Why? That is the, he quotes the Shach in Kuf Yodalid. Kuf Yodalid, he was talking about karkom, which is a certain kind of spice. And the problem with that spice is, I mean, there's different types of problems. One of the problems is that sometimes there would be strings of treif meat in it. Okay, strange reasons why. Doesn't really make a difference. And what is he saying? He says the Shach in Kuf Yodalid, that's quoted here, I just printed out and brought it with me. That what does the Shach say? That the only problem is if there are little piece strings of meat that are not dried out. But in our days, our karkom is totally dried out. If so, even if there's a little piece of meat in it, it is totally dry. And a little piece of meat that's totally dry is perfectly fine, like in Siman Pei Zayin Sif Yud. He clearly applies Siman Pei Zayin Sif Yud not only to Basar B'chalav but to Treif as well. Etc. etc. And then he says, and even if sometimes the meat is actually moist and edible. No, that's just because it was left someplace moist and it was originally dry and then got moist again, and then it's fine. So the Shach himself is clearly against the Prima Gadim. Even if it was dry and got moist again, it's fine. Once it was dry for one moment, the Isser was paka, it was inedible, the Isser went away.
What is dry?
So dry means obviously drier than beef jerky. Dry means inedible. I'll In a moment, I will be more specific. But dry means inedible, right? Beef jerky is not an edible; it's just close. But dry means inedible. Okay, so he's very clear that it applies to treif as well as basar chalav. It applies if it gets rehydrated as well if it stays, you know, inedible. The shach, there's no two ways about it. The shach is totally makom. And then he points out here that the Shvus Yaakov is also makel. He doesn't quote the exact case, but he quotes the Shvus Yaakov, who is also makel. So we have the Tiferes Tzvi, the Shach, the Shvus Yaakov, who are makel, the Prima Gadim, who's machmir, the Nodi Yehuda makes some sort of pshara. If you look in Sif Yotess, it's a weird case that I don't want to get into, but this weird case of Sam Sofer, where he was talking about I'm a guy who wanted to make cheese out of rennet from meat that was totally dried out and then reconstituted or rehydrated or whatever the case may be. And then they did a whole bunch of other things. And he says very clearly, he says, once it becomes edible again, then it's totally a problem. He owns like the prima cotton. So we have three basic shittas about basar shenis yabesh, v'nase ke'etz, v'achar kach, shovroi l'achila. Right? So one is the shach, the tiferes tzvi, the shvus yaakov. They say totally mutter. Once, for one moment, it was a non-food, it stays mutter forever. Once it lost its sister. On the other side, we have the prima gadim and the chsam sofer, who say it becomes usher again. They say it becomes usher again. They admit it was mutter meanwhile, right? Like in this case, they admit it's mutter. Because this case, it never became edible again. It stayed hard as wood. You just put milk inside, right? But if the actual thing that got inedible becomes edible again, they say it's chozer, lehi suro, and in the middle is the Noda Behuda, who says, if it was in basar b'chalav, it's mutter, and in Isser, it's Asser. Again, the logic being, it lost its real meat taste, but it retained its basic identity. So in an Isser, as long as it retains its identity and some degree of some connection to its identity, it stays Asser. But in Basar B'Chalav, unless it has a proper meat taste, it can't create an Isser Basar B'Chalav. You know, there's a certain inertia going on here. To create an Isser, it needs to have a proper taste and it lost it. To stay usher, it just needs to keep its identity and it kept it. Okay, what does this have to do with gelatin? So hopefully you got a chance to read Jack's very nice article about gelatin. You'd think, al pi pashtos, gelatin should basically be a machlokas between the shach and the between the shach and the prima gadim, right? Because how do they make gelatin? They used to make it out of cow bones, not from kosher cows, so it was a problem. Now they usually make it out of pig skins. They take the pig skins and they put it in a factory and process it, and I don't know, all kinds of chemicals, this and that, to like get out like one chemical from it, collagen or whatever it is. There's some chemical they want to get out. So they do all this processing and they make it totally, totally inedible. And then they take that chemical and they make it into some sort of powder. And when you put that in your food, then it makes your food delicious. What does it do to your food? It gives it a certain kind of texture. If you want your food to have a sort of gummy-like texture, you need gelatin. So, for example, gummy candies absolutely need gelatin. Marshmallows absolutely need gelatin. In the old days, sometimes ice cream, right? How do you say ice cream in Italian? Some of the stories are called?
Gelato.
Right, gelato, right? Because it was made with gelatin. I don't know how many ice creams use gelatin anymore. But also to give it its consistency, all yogurts used to use gelatin. I don't know how common it is anymore. Milkies, things like that, puddings. This is a very common thing. And of course, Jell-O, which is basically just water and gelatin and a little sugar and food coloring, is just I think it's just like water that you put gelatin in and some food coloring, whatever, and I'm not lucky, and it gives it that jelly-like, gummy-like consistency. So that's gelatin. So gelatin is a very important ingredient, and the main way to get those ingredients is from animal material, which generally is going to be treif, because, you know, you're not going to make a whole gelatin factory in Empire Kosher Slaughterhouse. It's going to be just with treif animals. So this is very, very controversial. You would think I'll be simple pshat. It should just be this exact amount of flow, because if you hold like the shaf and the first and the shos Yaakov, meaning the old carmine is butter, then you should hold that gelatin is also butter. If you hold like the prima donna of some sofer, then you should hold gelatin is usser. And it might still be a problem with chachila according to the shach, which then you'd have to cheshbon out, you know, if it's just an esel chachila. So, correct, meaning if it's also chachila, either way, how do you do it? So the point is, once it's esel chachila, then you have to see if perhaps there's other tzedakah lahakel as well. We can be makel even lechachila. So what happens with gelatin? There are, as Ray Jacker points out in his article, the main machlokas is this machlokas. However, there are two other studim. There are a few other factors. There are some ways that make gelatin worse, right? Gelatin. What are the smaras lahatir? One is the shach and the shvus Yaakov and the tif eres tzvi. Then he mentions some other svaras. One sad lahatir, which was Rav Cheskel Bramsky and Rav Chaim Ozer, they really liked this sad, but it's not relevant anymore. In the old days, they used to make it from bones. And they said maybe bones aren't treif. When the Torah says treif animals are treif, it doesn't mean the bones. Not that the bones aren't treif because they're not edible, because then if they become edible again, prima donna is machmir. Maybe bones are just not part of the treif. So that's not relevant for us. Not relevant anymore, but maybe bones were never treif, because the Torah just never intended to asser bones. But the other big kula says maybe this case is better than Siman Pei Zayin Sif Yud, is the famous Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah deals with something called musk. Musk comes from a gland of a deer. And he had many proofs that it was kosher. Okay, how did he know both musk was kosher? Well, mostly because he held that it was one of the samimanim of the Ketores, and he held those all had to be kosher. Whatever he is, let's assume musk is kosher. He has the following question, which again, you can ask scientifically whether you really would have put it this way or not. Doesn't matter. This is Rabbeinu Yonah, right? We're interested in his answer, not how we got there. He said, this gland processes blood and turns it into musk. So musk is made of blood, but blood is treif. Even blood of a kosher animal is treif. So how can musk be kosher if it's made of blood? And his answer is, it's nishtaneh. When something fundamentally changes, then it's not usser anymore. Again, nothing to do with roi or not roi lachila. It just fundamentally changes. You can imagine that. Again, I don't know if scientists nowadays say that blood turns into musk. I don't know how they would, you know, express the idea that glands in your body turn things into other things, you know, make things out of things. But the point is that it had a total chemical change, not just dried out. Dried out is not a total chemical change. It's just like a spoilage, as it were. You know, or mamish spoiled, not edible. It's not making a new thing. It's just spoiled, right? Spoiled meat is meat just spoiled, right? Dried up meat is meat just dried up. But here it's a total chemical change. Total chemical change, like a new bria. A new bria is kosher. So they say, what are they doing with the gelatin? They don't just take something and like let it sit there. Or whatever, or make it hot or cold or whatever. No, they totally apply like all kinds of very, very strong acids, whatever, to totally change the chemical composition. That's the heter called nishtana. This is controversial. No one relies on nishtana alone, except, who remembers, some people rely on nishtana alone and something that's only asavitam minhag called kitnios, right? Some people are makel. Kitnios and nishtana were okay. You can use the citric acid from the kitnios and the maltodextrin for the kidneys and these things, because it's totally nishtana. Some people are makel, okay, in general. I think in our communities we're not. We should be, or shouldn't be, okay, we like to be very firm on Pesach. But anyway, no one's makel and nishtana by mamish treif, but But it's a tzad lahakel together with the shach. It's a good tzad lahakel, and that would also perhaps even be matzah l'chachila. This is what Chaim Ozer brings up, even though he really views the heter of Rabbi Yonah and the heter of the shach very close to each other. Rabbi Yosef, it's in some yeser. This many posts can bring up the heter of Mishkaneh, which comes from the shita of Rabbi Yonah about the musk. Right, this was the heter of many of the poskim. This Rabbi Cheskel Bronsky held this heter of the bones, but Rabbi Chaim Ozer, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Ovadia, all add this heter of Nishtana. They say you put the shach and Nishtana together, and even if you wouldn't rely on the shach, the shach plus Nishtana is what to rely on. And that's why Rav Chaim Ozer was Matur Gelatin as well as many other postgame. Rav Chaim Ozer was, I don't like to judge, but I think like just historically, not in my own opinion, the biggest name among those is probably Rav Chaim Ozer. Oh, okay. Not as big to us because he was a generation or two before the people that we overlapped with. Right? My father was born a long time after Rav Chaim Ozer passed away. But Rav Chaim Ozer was basically the Gadol HaDor of Europe, until the war. He died in the ghetto. Was the Gadol HaDor of Europe, and Gadol HaDor of Europe in those days meant a lot. Right? It was bigger than Gadol HaDor of Israel or America back in the day. He was the Gadol HaDor of Europe, Rav Chaim Ozer. And Rav Chaim Ozer passed to his mutter. Why? Because you add the shach, and he did not really interested in the bones. You add the shach to Nishtana, and he thought that was a good enough heter, which is why traditionally the Rabbanut HaRashid in Israel, the regular kashrus in Israel, always approved of gelatin. Why? Because where did Israel get their psakim from in the early days? From Europe. Not from America. America is very far away. Everyone came from Europe. From Europe to Israel, there was always, people going back and forth and influencing each other and have been learned by the rebellion, etc. Israel was very close to Europe, even in the old days. And Chaim Ozer, the Gadol HaDor, Paskim was mutter, and that's why in traditional Rabbanut Kashrus in Israel, they always allowed gelatin, because of Rav Chaim Ozer, who, you didn't mess with Rav Chaim Ozer. Who were the big machmirim on this? The biggest machmirim in gelatin were actually the American Rabbanim, the American Gedolim. We're the biggest machmir in gelatin. Not only, the Minchas Yitzchak is also machmir. Minchas Yitzchak is, I guess, English and then Israeli. I don't know which country he lived in. He was machmir. That's Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss. He was the dayan of one of the biggest dayan in England. And then he made Aliyah and was a member of the Eid Haredis. I don't know exactly if he had a position. Remember the Bezin Eid Haredis, right? Not that many people are in the Bezin Eid Haredis, right? Meaning three or five or many Rabbanim at the time, were in charge of the Eid Haredis religiously. So he was one of them. But in America, Moshe Feinstein and Rav Aaron Cutler were machmir. You wonder why in America there's always one maverick guy who has, Jova or some brand of, gummy jelly candies, comes out every year for Pesach with gelatin, and that everyone likes to argue about. So there's one rabbi every year who, I think it was originally Talmud Rav Chaim Ozer, I assume by now. It's not a Talmud Rav Chaim Ozer anymore, maybe it's his, grandson. There's one rabbi every year who tries to put out gelatin things in America. It says Rav Chaim Ozer was makel, and it's true, Rav Chaim Ozer said it was okay, but in America, it's really, it's not a sheet in America. It's such a lopsided minhag olam that, I don't know, how can you be out to gelatin in America? 99.9% of all Orthodox Jews in America have not eaten gelatin since before I was born. And I don't know what happened before then. So in America, why? Because between Moshe Feinstein and Aaron Cutler. So what more did you need in America? What people said in other countries. Yeah, it was other countries. You and I wouldn't mess with the Achiezer. Moshe Feinstein and Aaron Cutler, they could argue with the Achiezer. And so it so happens that in America, there's no Havamina. No Orthodox Jew, even if you're, not the most Jewish guy in the world would ever eat gelatin. That's because in America, that's what their poskim say. But in Eretz Yisrael, most poskim in Eretz Yisrael might have said it was okay. I don't know, it's hard to count. No, who counts for how much? That's why in Eretz Yisrael, basically, Rabbanut allows gelatin
and the Mahadran Hashgachas do not. Mahadran Hashgachas, of course, do not. Because the whole point of Mahadran Hashgachas is that if it's a machlokas, they're machmir, regardless of what their shita is. You know, Rav Yosef held it was mutter, but in his Mahadran Hashgacha, he wouldn't allow it. You know, that's the nature of Mahadran Hashgacha. But in Israel, the non-Mahadran allows it. In America, even the non-Mahadran is not allowed, except for one crazy guy. I think it's called Jova. Not crazy, just maverick. I think Jova is the brand. I don't know what the name of the rabbi is. Okay, who like, and he writes in the fine print, you know, Rav Chaim Ozer, Rav Chaim Ozer, Rav Chaim Ozer. You know, most people haven't heard of Rav Chaim Ozer anymore. And even if they have, like, he's right, but there's such a thing as the minhag in America. And Rav Chaim Ozer was not in that country, so I don't think we should pay attention to him. What are the sparos of? From Aaron Cutler to Aser, Aleph, he says, the prima gundam, right? The prima gundam masters, after all, it becomes edible again. Now it becomes edible, it makes your food delicious. Then he had two other sparos to Aser. His first svara is, a little tricky because it seems to be against the Shach, but what does he say? He says the famous sheet of the Chavos Das. We're learning Pesach now. Hopefully we'll get to it at some point. I'm not sure exactly where in the first parak. But what are the two things that is a very big favor to eat on Pesach? Chametz and Seor, right? Chametz is delicious challah. That rose, and Seor is over-risen challah that fermented so much that it became inedible and turned into yeast. So, the Gemara points out, Seor is inedible, but it's usher to eat anyway, and why? It has something to do with the fact that it's roi l'chameh bo kama isos. It's use, even though it's inedible, it can make one little loaf of that sourdough, I don't mean what they call sourdough nowadays, I mean like so sour that you can't eat it, can make 500, you chop it up into pieces, put each yeast, right, they like used powder in the store in those days, put each yeast into your, and for 3 years you can use it to make challah. So since it's an ingredient that makes your food delicious, it's usher even though it's not edible. So the big machlokas, which we're not getting into now, is that a special din of Pesach? Or is that a principle in Kol Torah Kula? Like, does that also apply to treif? That a treif ingredient that's not edible, but can ferment many things and makes your food delicious, is considered roi l'achila. It's not such a crazy svara. After all, you can't eat it, but you can eat it because you put in your food and then it makes your food a delicious combination. So maybe, pepper. You can't eat pepper, but no one says it's not roi l'achila. You just have to mix it with things. So I understand it's not exactly the same. Because it's not that you want to mix the taste here, it's just that you want a chemical reaction. But, okay, so that's what Aaron Cutler says. Says Aaron. He says, Ro'oi lechameya bo kama isos. Not literally, lechameya means lechametz. Says it's like. Just like, according to the Chavos Das says it applies to treif as well. That's considered edible. An ingredient is considered edible. And then he has one other point. Says Ravard as well. He says, Achshave. After all, you eat it in the end. If you eat it in the end, that shows you think it is edible. Right? If you remember, the case in Pesach and Sifyud, you didn't eat it. You just put milk in it. But if you eat it, then you're going to be afraid that it is edible. That's the rule of Achshe. If you eat something inedible, it's considered edible, l'chora.
Basically, I was trying to figure out how to express this. Both these reasons of Ravaron are not besides the Prima Gadim. They're basically supporting the Prima Gadim. Right, because the prima gadim is a case where you eat it afterwards, and the prima gadim is exact case. It sounded like he was talking a case where you eat where you ate it afterwards. Although
the Yavish
case, does the prima gadim say an exact case? See, here he says,
no same time. It's not so clear that prima gunna might have been machmir even if you didn't eat it afterwards, because it still puts the time into your food. So he's saying this is worse than prima gunna was machmir if you don't eat it afterwards, but maybe everyone would admit if you eat it afterwards, at least you eat it afterwards on purpose. The Shach was discussing when you eat it afterwards by accident, just stuck in your spices. So the first case, it's a little unclear, meaning if it's just beefing up, it's supporting the prima gunna or a different taina. But he basically, I think it is a different taina. The prima gunna is saying that it gets reconstituted in an edible, even if it's nothing special, it's usser. And Rav Kotler is saying this is worse than the prima gunna in two ways. The prima gunna says anything that becomes edible again is usser. He's saying, well, this is better than the case of the prima gunna. This is more machmir the case of prima gunna. Here, all along, it was an important ingredient. Prima gunna's case, it wasn't an important ingredient all along. And over here, you're eating it afterwards on purpose, not just putting it with your food. So therefore, he brings three svaras to Asr, and they're not crazy svaras.
Let me close the
prima gunna
where he says that it goes past
the prima gunna lamed gimel, ayin shachav, but abasar yavish ke'et osir, hua din or keva of nemi ayin shnitz yavshu, b'dishol yesh lesar. If you then cut them in for you, you should ask her, I'm ready for the prima gunna, misrakech with no same time, because it gets soft and it gives its time to your food. Sounds like if you cook the yavesh in your food, then it's usher because it becomes treif again and gives a time to your food.
But
gelatin doesn't give time to your food. It gives better than time to your food. It gives your time, texture to your food. So that's around Cutler's dessert. But halacha l'maisa, by the way, the note of Yehuda actually, it's a little, I'm not going to put this on the board. If you look inside the note of Yehuda, he's really more like the Shach. Because even though he says what he's quoted saying, he says that's because this dried meat is still edible to a dog. But if you process it so much that it's not edible to a dog either, then I agree with the Shach. So the Nebi Yehuda is really more on the Shach side, but I put him here for a reason. Let's just do the Shitas in gelatin. What are the Shitas in gelatin? Rav Chaim Ozer, Ach Yezer, is Rosh HaMadaber in Hor Mekel. He's Mekel in gelatin. Who else is Mekel in gelatin? The Tzitz Eliezer is Mekel in gelatin. Rabbi is Mekel in gelatin, and many others. Who's machmir in gelatin? Rabbi Cutler is machmir in gelatin. The Minchas Yitzchak is machmir in gelatin. There's always others. Rav Moshe Feinstein actually says, I think Rabbi Jacker mentions this. If not, it's true anyway. He has a true where he says, parallels in the Yehuda, a machmir gelatin of treif. If they make gelatin out of pigs, it's treif. But a makel and basar b'chol, if they make gelatin, which they didn't, out of kosher cows, then it's parv. Right? That's what he means. I mean, basar b'chol is mutter. What does he mean? What does it mean? This means that treif stays treif. But if it's from kosher cows, then the gelatin becomes parif. And that's what we said. You want to make it from kosher cows, you can call it OU parif. And you can use it for yogurt and ice cream. But if you make it from treif, it stays treif. That's like the idea of the note of Yehuda. That it's not going to be basar b'chalav once you process it so much, because it doesn't have tam basar anymore. You can't create basar b'chalav. But if it started out treif, it's still treif. Because treif is treif even if it doesn't have the same taste. As long as it keeps its identity. Basar b'chalav is only basar b'chalav. It still has meat taste. It doesn't have meat taste anymore. No problem. Halacha l'maisa, what do we, our minig in gelatin. Halacha l'maisa, you see, there's a lot of mekilim and gelatin. You know, even though when I was in America and I came to Israel Shana Aleph, they taught me. Okay, whatever. So it all depends where you went to high school, what kind of education you got. You know, in general, the education I got before I went to Eretz Yisrael is that, like, you know, the Tzioni Ramanot are a bunch of Rishoyim. So part of what I got is, you know, in Israel they have this Ramanot, we're not from, they feed everyone treif gelatin and it's terrible. So the truth is that, I don't know, Chaim Moser was the Gadol Hador, why shouldn't he follow the Gadol Hador? Certainly if you live in Europe, why wouldn't you eat gelatin? And if you live in Eretz Yisrael, which was influenced by Europe in those days, meaning there were fast following, I don't mean to put anyone down, but Israel was not the Torah center in the 30s. Like it is now, everything came from Europe. So they followed Rav Chaim Ozer as they should have followed Rav Chaim Ozer. And the Mahadran wants to be yotzei all the shitas as the Mahadran should. Just what my Rebbe should have told me was that since you live in America, America has a strong minhag medina, and therefore, even you have your strong minhag medina. If you visit Eretz Yisrael, you have to keep your minhag medina and not eat gelatin. And that was most of my Shana Aleph. Was most guys during most of my Shana Aleph, there were no cell phones at that time, so what did they spend their time doing besides learning? They spend their time confusing gluten and gelatin in the supermarket and being very confused about what they were allowed to buy and what they were not allowed to buy. I could spend all day telling stories about gluten and gelatin. In any case, halacha l'maaseh in America, no one eats it. The truth is, nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, basically, the anti-gelatin forces won. Okay? Rav Chaim Moser lost. There's hardly any gelatin left, even in Rabbanut Kashrut, in Eretz Yisrael by now. A friend of mine is one of the biggest mashgichim in the country. He's in charge of Tznuva, which is a very large company. He took all gelatin out of Tznuva, even non-Mahadrin. Strauss also took gelatin out of almost anything, almost everything. Again, I'm not promising you good luck, but almost everything doesn't have gelatin anymore. Even the marshmallows, I went to the supermarket the other day, picked up a package of non-Mahadrin marshmallows, and the non-Mahadrin marshmallows had fish gelatin. Fish gelatin is very easy to make kosher, because you don't have to chef fish, you just have to start with kosher species, and it's no big deal to get a factory and say, you know, take some kosher species of fish. Like, you don't have to be Jewish to say, oh, just, like, get these species of fish, and you need no special Jewish acts done to them and process them. Not a big deal, right? You go, you kosher the line, you take kosher fish, you know, just like the OU certifies all tuna, you know, without a mashgiach there. So you put a mashgiach, you don't need a shochet, you don't need, you know, all the trefos and malicha, etc. It's very easy to make with fish. So the maisa, first they started in history with agar-agar or other type of vegetable gelatin substitutes, which were not very good. Couldn't make gummy candies out of them. But they use it for some yogurts or something that are very thin. Then they came up with the idea of fish gelatin, which worked almost as good. Almost as good. At first, the Milkies didn't like them. I don't know, by now, maybe the Milkies allow fish gelatin. They improved it a little. It's not quite as good as animal. Since then, one factory opened somewhere that actually makes out of kosher animals gelatin. And they rely on Ramosha to say it's parif. I don't know if Ramon Kohler explicitly disagreed with him even though it seems like he should. But I'm not sure. Actually, I'm not sure. Anyway, so nowadays there's enough substitutes to cook gelatin, the vegetarian substitute. You can't really make good things out of the fish. Is almost as good, unless you're like mamish makbid, and they even have kosher meat-based gelatin, which Ramosha says is pyrrhic by now. Lemaisa, there's very little trade gelatin left in the shop. There still might be some, but it's not a big deal like it once was. Basically, Rav Chaim Moser lost, and Ramosha Feinstein, Rav Aaron Cutler, and the Minchas Yitzchak won. Okay, the Seder. Fish gelatin. So some people have a problem with fish gelatin mixing. It's a big machlok. So you mix fish gelatin with meat because it's sakana to mix milk and meat. So many poskim say, no, once the shtana, there's no sakana. And even if we don't rely on the shtana for Yisura, for sakana, we can rely on it. Even though Hamir sakana to be Yisura, but also by sakana, we have a concept that since we don't have a logical reason for it, mistam, it's only that case. Lemaisa, there's room to be makel even by fish gelatin with meat, if you ask me. Some people are machmir, but it doesn't happen that often that the gelatin products you mix with meat. The bigger question, what about with milk, right? Fish gelatin in milk products. So I think most Sfardim are makel, even though they have that chumra of the milk and fish, but what's in the shtana, they're not machmir. So the mice were not machmir. The only thing is if you melt marshmallows onto your meat. Some people are machmir. I don't think you have to. I think in the shtana, you could say, we don't have a masorah for sakana if it's the shtana. Shechter apparently is not so worried about the sakana in the first place. But that's where it's controversial. If you melt marshmallows onto your meat, seems a little, you know, weird. Seems like a teenage thing to do.
If you're roasting hot dogs in a barbecue, you might be roasting marshmallows.
You mean actually roasting hot dogs with marshmallows together accidentally or something? Okay, so some people would be machmir. I think we could be makel. How does Pashkas make their candy things? Look at the ingredients. They might use fish gelatin. A lot of that, basically, almost all of it uses fish gelatin nowadays. Yeah. Yeah, as I said, the gelatin, the problematic gelatin is much less common. It's very rare. I'm not saying you don't have to check. I mean, if you eat Mahadri Kashrus, you don't have to check because they wouldn't allow it anyway. But if you eat non Mahadri Kashrus and you're Makbid on gelatin, you should check. But it's very rare. Even non Mahadri things I've seen are now made with fish gelatin. Yes. Right, which may be why I haven't heard that Sfardim are so mocked on it. Yeah, good point. Yes, Ben. Well, it's pretty rare that Europe and America have such a divide. But I think if they're, you know, and again, what does meaning of Europe mean? Obviously, that's what after the war. After the war, what meaning of Europe is, you know, unfortunately, no one's saying, you know, Arab, and, you know, there was no Europe. But I think if there was such a case, you would expect this to be a pattern. I just don't know how many examples there are. Okay, so much for Jelen, Rabosai. Now, let us go on to Sif Yud Aleph. Oh, sorry, he discussed the gel caps, right? This is the big shiloh nowadays. What about gel caps? What do gel caps mean? They are caplets of, that are medicine that in order to go down smooth, they coat them with gel. Because gelatin, in addition to giving texture, it's also, it's like WD-40, just for food. It makes things go down very smooth. Gelatin makes things go down very smooth. So they often coat the capsules, like Tylenol. Many Tylenols are coated with gelatin. So what about gel caps? That's what Jackner's article was about. And what did he want to say? He said, Rav Schechter said, Rav said gel caps were okay. He said, look, in gel caps, it might be a little more makel than gelatin. Why might it be a little more makel? Because you, even though you have sort of reconstituted it so that it's edible, but it doesn't actually taste good. It's certainly not achshave. You're not saying I'm eating because it's edible. There's a principle. When you take medicine, that's not achshave. You don't think it's edible. You're just taking it for technical reasons. And it's not really such a good foodstuff, even though it is reconstituted. So he thinks there's more room to be makel by gel caps. It also might not be quite derech achila to take a gel cap. Again, it's not the normal way of eating. So therefore, there's a lot of stuff between makel and gel caps. And basically, he says in the end there, even if you're machmer and gelatin, like all Americans and like most Israelis by now, or many Israelis by now, etc., you can make it with gel caps, but if you have another option, better to be machmer. Okay, there are different opinions about this. Some people say don't worry at all. Some people obviously are always machmer. I think he has a good hachra. Personally, I never use gel caps in my house because I just always like buy the other alternative in the first place. Like whatever comes in gel caps. Like gel caps is not for like rare special prescription medicines. It's for like over-the-counter things that you buy in Costco. There's always two brands and one of them is not gel cap. So I just buy the brand that's, like, there's nothing you need a gel cap for. It's only, like, if you already bought it, and that's what you have at home. So the mice, I always buy the one that's not a gel cap. If I go on Amazon and I want to buy Tylenol, I buy the one that's not a gel cap, and I don't worry about it. But, you know, if someone already has the gel caps, then I wouldn't throw them out. You mean there might be prenatal vitamins that all of them are gel caps? Okay, I'm beyond my pay grade here. It's been a long time since we bought prenatal vitamins in America. Even been a bit since we bought prenatal vitamins anywhere, especially since, you know, as you have more and more kids, you stop keeping all the hanchayot, you know. You start realizing that, you know, hey, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to tell you what you start realizing when you were kids, because if you have, like, one kid, you're like, kill me. You're like, what? Leave the kid on the bed, and if he rolls over and falls on the floor, he won't die? What are you, a cruel Nazi? But you'll see also. You'll see something. I just mean that, you know. It's part of life.
Even without carpet.
Yeah. Again, not lechachila. Then you are cruel. Anyway, Kitzer. So I don't know how much did you are prenatals after a while. But anyway, okay. So enough bad advice. Again, it's very parallel to why no one keeps that hayot anymore. So I don't know if it's right or wrong, but maybe it's probably right. But the hayot may be wrong. Anyway, Yud Aleph. In hemet vino bor kevas ksheira. This is talking, what if you hemet? Remember, hemet means you curdle, right? You use as a rennet. You use the enzyme. In hemet vino bor kevas ksheira. Yesh matam basar asura v'yamlav muteres. If it tastes like meat, meaning the meat is more than a 1/60 of the cheese, which is almost never the case in cheese making, then it's asur. If not, it's mutter because of bitzel b'shishim. Avala mamid or kevas nevelu treifa. But if, remember, or keva means the meat of the stomach lining. Avilu treifa and behemah tameya, meaning treif animals, osur b'kolshu is asur b'kolshu. This is the famous machlokes rishonim about... Isaac, when you get a chance, please. The famous machlokes rishonim about dover hamamid. The concept dover hamamid is not found in Chas. It's a concept invented by the rishonim. But it's a concept invented by the rishonim for a good reason. It's because they make a great diuk in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, okay, the Gemara talks about in Chulin, which was the sugya we've been in the whole time, it obviously talked about how it's a big problem to be ma'amid milk with meat, and it'll make a treif. But it doesn't say the numbers, the ratio. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, though, what that was in Avodah Zarah? Lamed He Amud Aleph, I think. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, when they're talking about why Goyish cheese is treif, why is Goyish cheese treif? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah gives different theories. And one of the theories is, they are mamid, they curdle it with orkave, where orkave means the stomach lining of nevela. So, what is the potential diuk? Right, Avodah Zarah, Baflam and Hayam and Aleph, Nidne Shemamidin Osa, or Kevas Nevela, because they use Nevela meat to curdle the cheese. What's the diuk, reasonable diuk, that most, maybe most Rishonim make? But if it was or Kevas Shuta, it wouldn't be a problem. What's the diuk? This is the diuk of, who's the first to make this diuk? Could be the Rimi Gash. Could be the Rimi Gash was the first to make the diuk. Certainly the first that that I can think of. Tosus asked the question. Tosus says, why Dafka Nevela? Right? But there are three different shitas. One is the Rimi Gash, the Rambam, and many other Harbi Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ram, etc., etc. What do they say? Mamid or Kevas Nevela versus Shluta. That is Aser B'Mashu, but this is Batel B'Shishem, because they usually use less than a 1/60 of the enzyme to bring it. Meaning, they're mechalikini surim and basar b'chalav. If you use treif, then it's asur b'mashu. If you use combined meat and milk, then it's batel b'shishim. What's the rule? They invent a new halachic category. What's the new halachic category? Is there a rule of Davar Hamamid ain't a bottle? Is there a rule called Davar Hamamid ain't a bottle? It's not found in Shas. But the Rishonim invent this rule. And why do they invent it? They invent it for all the cheese-making sugyas. They say, come on, use less than a 1/60. Why is it bottled with the effort at least? The answer is, because Davar Hamamid ain't a bottle. Why? Bittle means less than a 1/60. It's not important. But over here, how can you say it's not important? It made the cheese. It gave the whole thing its surah. Right? So some Rishonim say, we're not going to get into it, that, well, you can't ignore it because it's important, so it's like a 1/60, it's like, it's no zitam. Others say, no, this is the ikker. The ikker of cheese is the rennet, because that's what creates the cheese. So, of course, it's not bottle. So, it's certainly something important. So, what do most Rishonim say? They say, Yes, but only for Isser, not Basar B'Chalav. What is the logic? The logic makes a lot of sense. In Isser, if I take treif meat and I use it as my rennet, there's treif in here. Since it's Dabra Mamet, it's not Batel, so everything's treif. But in Basar B'Chalav, the Basar's not treif, the Chalav's not treif. What's treif? When I combine Basar B'Chalav, it's treif. When I combine Basar B'Chalav, how is it treif? The Derech Bishel. And Midrabanan, Mishel over Derech Bishel. But what does Derech Bishel mean? Derech Bishel means not enzymes. Derech Bishel means I combine two ingredients to make a dish. That means I can taste them both. It's only called Derech Bishel if I can taste them both, not if they have a chemical effect. And even though Midrabanan, even if I mix them cold, still the Midrabanan is an extension of the Daraisa. Basar B'Chalav is only usher if the meat and milk give each other a taste. And the meat's not butel. Who cares if it's butel or not? I care if it gave each other a taste. And that is the chiddush. Asur b'mashu, because the treif is not butel, but because even though the basar is not butel, it doesn't give a ta'am. And basar b'chalav is only usher when there's a ta'am of basar and a ta'am of chalav. How do I know? I know because of the principle of those sevashim b'dibei chalav yod derech bishel, and therefore, even though drabban and asher all mixtures of meat and milk, the Rimi Gash, the Rambam, most of them say they only asher a mixture when we can taste both ingredients. If we can't taste the ingredients, they didn't asher it. Leah. Say that again.
It wouldn't rennet be rennet gelatin?
No, because it was edible the whole time.
The rennet?
Yeah.
Even in the case?
No, we're not talking about the case of cates now. No. We're talking about the case of regular meat. And then if so, then that would be sifyot, and that would be similar to gelatin. But here we're talking about regular meat. Yes. Yep.
Is there a real gelatin between things that you can taste and things with chemical effect change?
Great question. And that itself might be controversial, but obviously the Rimi Gash and the Rambam think that there is, right? They think that there's something called taste and there's something called an effect, and an effect is less than taste. That itself is a big lumdus. If you're very medayik in the Shach and the Taz at the end of the Siman and the Makoros they quote, you'll see, we're not the answer, it's a big lumdus as to the relationship between Davar HaMamid and taste. Are they the same? Is one more chomer, is the other more chomer? Okay, but I'm going to leave that for, you know, your further eon. Okay, now, what are the other two shitas? Bali Tosos disagree. Say the Bali Tosos. Tosos says, no, Lav Davka, the big one says there's no difference. Well, there's two versions of the no difference. Says Rabbeinu Tam. Or let's start the Rash. You know the Rash Mishans? Says the Rash Mishans. Says the Rash. Asar B'mashu. And Asar B'mashu. This is Yom special. Yes. Everywhere. Davar HaMamet is always a problem. Whether kosher meat or treif meat, Davar HaMamet is a problem. And says Rabbeinu Tam. Only usher if it's more than a 60th. Only usher if it's more than a 60th. This is a big kula of Rabbeinu Tam. Hitaka thinks rennet is totally bottled. There's no such rule as Davar HaMamet even bottled. Rabbeinu Tam denies the rule of Davar HaMamet even bottled. He denies the rule. The Rosh says the rule applies bain to Basar B'Chalav, bain to treif, bain the nevela, bain the shchuta. Rabbeinu Tam says it doesn't apply. Why? Does the Gemara think it's a problem? Because in the days of the Gemara, they would put in more than a 60th. That's the Chiddush Rabbeinu Tam. So both, all the Bali Tosos seem to agree, or at least most of the Bali Tosos agree. Most of the Bali Tosos agree. I don't know. I can't promise you all. Tosos on the daf. There's no difference between the Mamet or Kavis nevela or shchuta. There's no difference between Basar Becholim and Shari Surin. Either there is a rule of Dabar Mamid and Batal, or there isn't. Okay, why does the Gemara then say Mamid Borkevas Nevela and not Borkevas Orkeva? Why does it say specifically Nevela? So one, the Bali Shuls have many technical explanations, either because since we're talking about Goyim, Goyish cheese, the Goyim used Nevela, so they just threw it in because it happens to be the case. Or because Nevela is an Issa Daraisa, which is more worrisome, and Shchuta is only an Issa Darabanan because they mix it cold. But he says, don't make this diok. Don't make this very clever diok that we got around the other Shonim. How do we paskin? The way we paskin is abundantly clear. The Shochanot just paskin. What did he say? If you use Orkevas Sheira, kosher meat, and you're only probably mixing meat and milk, then if it's more than a 60th Usher, if it's less than a 60th Mutter. But if you use Trefrenit, then even if it's less than a 60th, it's still Usher, we totally disregard the Bali Tosos, and we bain Svartim bain Ashkenazim, Paskin like the Ri Migash and the Rambam and the Rishone Svara here. As the Ndura Ma explains, we should the Dabra Usher, but Atzmo Mamad, if you'll be Elef, Lo Bato. Something that's usher itself, not that could combine with something else like meat and milk. Something that's already usher, even in one of the thousand, is not batal, because davar mamid is not batal. Okay, one of the discussions that we saw earlier in the Shas Sivkat and Lamed, which is very, very lumdish, but I'm not going to go into now because we do need to move a little, is what about the fizeh? What if you have not, again, let's say you have less than 1/60th. So if you have nevela into chalav, that is usr, right? That's the shita of these rishonim. If you have basar kosher into chalav, that is usr. What about the funny case where you have chalav Shekibel, or let's say this. Chalav Shenis Arev Bo Ta'am Basar. And if you put that into Chalav, what's the rule? Meaning you have Chalav that's Basar B'Chalav already, and then that's Rennet, and then you use that as the Rennet. That was actually the case in Sifyot. Right, you have chalav that was salted or soaked in the stomach and became basar b'chalav. You took that chalav and used it as rennet for other chalav. So the Rama says batal b'shishim. So the simple pshat you would have said is now this chalav has tam basar, becomes treif. Once it becomes treif in and of itself, davar mamidin al batal. That would be the simple pshat. But this goes to a very big issue that we'll come back to again and again. To what extent do we say basar b'chalav becomes intrinsically treif in and of itself once they mix? Or no, they're two mutter things, which we only treat as treif. Okay, I know I haven't explained it properly. Lemaisa, we're not explaining all of this now. The shaf has two deos. Says the shaf, two deos. Number one. I'm sorry. Mutter, because it was not in the lashon of the Ramah, davar ha'asur ba'atzmo. His second daya is, if it was basar b'chalav min ha-Torah, then asar. But if it was basar b'chalav midrabanan, then it's mutter. Meaning, basar b'chalav min ha-Torah is considered davar ha-asar b'fnei atzmo. Basar b'chalav midrabanan is not considered davar ha-asar b'fnei atzmo. Okay, maybe we'll come back to these. These are very long shinyanim, which we're not going to delve into now. Let's just finish up very briefly the simon and move on. Add the Raman, the last point. The Dafkish Lahoyash Amamad Akhir Raqqa Isr. Right? This is a case that happened to Bali Tosos. I forget exactly what happened to. They had some what they thought was perfectly kosher milking rennet that they used to make cheese, and then they discovered that inside it were also some meat. So he says, when is it a problem, Dover Amad, some meat that by then was treif because it had soaked in milk, etc.? Okay, now. The doctor's law hisham mamet acher raka usher. Only if you are pure isser mamet, hisham gamki mamet heter. If you have two mamets, use treif rennet and kosher rennet. Use two mamets at the same time, having zevzei gorim. That's a suya called zevzei gorim. Actually, in the second paragraph of Sachem, it's found, and in the second of Zara. Umotar mikashishin neged isser. It's batal b'shishin, meaning the Isser Dover Mamet in a bottle is if the Dover Mamet did it by itself. But if there was an Isser or two Usser Mamets, but if it was an Usser Mamet and a Heter Mamet, then that's called Zevzikor. Zevzikor means an effect is caused by Isser and Heter. And then we're Makel. We're Makel that Zevzikor is Mutter. What is the Machlokas Shach and Taz here? Does anyone want to tell me in a very common sense, simple way, what's the Machlokas Shach and Taz?
Exclusively for the
Ramah,
or that it just has to be the main one.
You're not wrong, but I don't think you've expressed it as clearly as you can. Yoni?
The chocolate pot says that if the figure of Rosara about the Zagorim says that it only really applies to the hot tail if neither of them are sufficient in order to enact the.
Correct. If you'll allow me to mix some words from Masechet Shabbos into the sugya of Zev Zegorim, remember in Masechet Shabbos, if two people do a malacha, right? There are two different kinds of two people doing malacha. That's why there are three shittos in the Tanoim. There is, forget, first of all, there's Ye Yachol Ze'enu Yachol, right? Me and my two-year-old son carry a, you know, dresser together. I could do it, he can't. So I'm chayiv, he's not. That's easy. Right? Then, if two people match a partnership, they say yachol ze yachol, either one could do it alone and they have redundant, unnecessary partnership, or ze'eno yachol, neither one could do it alone. They need each other to do it, which is more chamer, ze'eno yachol, right? Two out of three sheets of the nine, so you're hiding that. So let's just review what's the case of that we're discussing here. If you have a mamid isser, plus a mamid heter. What are the two cases? If it's ze'enu yachol, sorry, did I get it wrong? Okay, I didn't mean to make the comparison shot so tight. If it's ze'enu yachol, v'ze'enu yachol, then it's mutter. If neither one could do it alone, it's mutter. Why? Because the Isser couldn't have done it alone. You needed the Isser? Yeah, but it didn't do anything by itself. What's the machlokas? The machlokas is, what about ze yachol? V'ze yachol. What if either one could have done it on its own? Says the Taz. Says the Taz here. It all comes from this case of the Mordechai. It's only the heter if neither one can do it alone. But in Yeshua Israel Levad, Lo Mahani Mashmashia, Lo a heter, Me'in Zebachal, Zebzegorim, Mechain Kosvu, etc., etc.
What if it's Zeyachol, Vizeyachol? Right? Again, to use phrase from Shabbos. What if the Isser could have done it by itself, and the Heter could have done it by itself? So on the one hand, you could say, well, the Isser didn't do anything. It would have happened without it. So on the other hand, it did everything. So therefore, the Taz says totally Usser, and the Shach says,
Glad you have a Mordechai. He wants to bring a proof from the Mordechai and from the Tosfos, etc. And then he says, Sorech Yom Medina.
Basically, that case is Asr. The Taz says Asr for sure. The Shach says Sorech Yom, because there's Makoros that sound like it's Asr. Halach Lamei. So we say that the Ramaz Hedrev Zeb Zegorim is only the Isser couldn't have done it on its own. But if the Isser could have done it on its own, you just have redundant Amidim. Let's say you put a tray friend and a kosher friend in it. Each one is enough. Then we're Machmir. But if each one is only half enough and they work together, then we're Makel. Yoni.
And then I guess if the Isser is
Enu
Yachol,
if the Isser is Enu Yachol, that Enu Yachol, that's Pashat Mutter. That's called Mesayeya Ein Bo Mamish. Helping is nothing. That's the Sugyuk Mesayeya Ein Bo Mamish. Then for sure it's Mutter. Okay. Simon Pei Ches. Shlola Halos. Isaac, when you get a chance. This is really the beginning of Parakola Basar. Where's Parakola Basar? Right, again, the Eith Parak of Kulim, where a lot of these halachas come from, says, You can't cook meat with milk except for fish and locusts. But also the halos and vino shochan, you can't even put it on your table with cheese. You can't even have one dish, one platter of meat and one platter of cheese on the same table, even if you're not going to eat them together, except for basar dagim chagavim, except of course for fish and locusts, which are parf. Okay, the isser of halah. So the isser of halah, what does the shochan aruch say? Based on the Gemara, afilu b'sar chayi v'olf, also haloso al shulchan she'ochel olav vino shlo yavol ochlam yachad. Even b'sar chayi v'olf. What's the chiddush? Even though it's only derabanan, and you still can't put it on the table. You can't put chicken and cheese on the same table when you're eating, because you might come to eat them together. Okay, this is something, yes? I mean, cheese is milk in all circumstances. Yeah, yeah, gvina it just is an example of all milk products. Why do they always choose gvina? Because the only solid milk product they would eat was cheese. And when they talk about putting on the table, so they imagine like one solid and another solid. You could, but you know, you could have also said a jar of milk. And I guess you think of a platter of meat, a platter, but it means any milk. Nowadays we have lots more milk other than cheese, correct? In those days, often they would only have cheese. I don't even know if they would have milk all the time. I wonder, would they have milk 12 months a year? I don't know. Probably depends when. So it's usher. Okay, so what's the obvious question that you might ask here? Prima Gadim deals with this chakira in the first Prima Gadim, and the Mishnah Sozav, part of the Prima Gadim, is you're not allowed to put cheese and chicken on the table at the same time. What is the general mistake? You might eat them together. What's the problem? It's exera. You might eat them together. So what if you ate chicken and cheese together? It would only be exera. So what about ingos and exera? So here, I don't know if anyone looked at the Gemara, but if you looked at either the Gemara or the Prima Gadim, you might realize that the Taz here is not so poshut. I think it's the Taz. What did the Taz here say? It says the Taz, V'yafish to go ochel nacha namileke isodor raisa she'in yasol davke derech bishol yachad nimz avik zero l'xera. The Gemara mean is chiyakam nek bishvin xero l'xera. He deals another point. And even if you ate them together, besides being chicken, you'd be eating them together, but you wouldn't be cooking them together. So it would only be derabanan. The Gemara says in this case you make xero l'xera. Those words do not appear in the Gemara. That's his pshat in the Gemara. His pshat in the Gemara is that we make xero l'xera. So this is a fascinating, you know, the nafkamina of this will be very slight, but it's a fascinating question, which is,